Trials and suffering are a part of the Christian life. And if you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you know that your faith will be tested. And in the book of James, in chapter 1, James shows us how faith responds in the midst of hardships. Our faith will either consider trials as an opportunity for joy, or a time to murmur, a time to complain, a time to look within our own hearts and examine ourselves as we see that the hand of God has been pleased in His divine prerogative to bring trials our way. And the purpose of trials is to develop Christian character. And how we react to trials is indicative of our level of faith. We all have a different measure of faith. We're not all at the same ground of faith, even this very hour. And even this morning, maybe some of you are in deep despair, maybe in despondency. Maybe the trial that you're undergoing at this moment is so overwhelming. But yet, what we have to understand and what James is going to show us at these trials, as he tells us there in James chapter 1 and in verse 17, when he says this, he says, every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. If you saw that he says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And it comes, as he says, from the Father of lights. And when James opens up here, we're looking at verse 2, 3, and 4. He opens up with, count it all joy, my brothers. Brother, we must have a proper understanding of sufferings, of the trials that we go through. And we must look through the lens of Scripture, because it will help us as we go through trials. Because James reminds us that there must be a steadfastness as we undergo these trials. And in this book, we find that there are four characters of the Old Testament that James brings to our memory. He brings Abraham and the trial that he underwent. He reminds us of Rahab and the trial that she underwent. He reminds us of Job and the great severity that Job underwent. And he says, and even consider the prophets and Elijah. So we look to them. We're not alone in this. Brother, when we go through trials, they serve a purpose, and we must comprehend and understand that they come from the hand of a loving God and an all-wise God. He knows what He's doing. And in times of trials, we must look within our own hearts and examine ourselves. And this goes against the grain of our humanity. When he says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials. And that one word, meet, it conveys to us the inevitability that we will encounter trials. No one in this room is exempt. As an unbeliever, you are born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. As an unbeliever, you have really no comfort, nowhere to go. Because the righteous, they run to their high tower. The righteous understand that it is the hand of God in their life that is bringing this trial. And God gives us the grace and the ability by the Spirit to count all these things as joy. What a profound statement. Count it all joy. Because we know that when we enter trials, we do not count it all joy. But yet God gives us the grace to do so. What God commands, He enables. And because we are His children, He will enable us. I want to read verse 2 through 4. He says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know," another interesting word, "for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." When I looked at this section of Scripture, I had a very unpleasant week. My stomach, I think it was three times this week, was in pain. That was self-inflicted. Now I know I can't eat salsa anymore. But I was unable to really concentrate in the Word of God and study as the way I wanted to. But God is gracious and God is good. He's so kind. Because He woke me up yesterday morning. Because the last episode I had was Friday evening. So He woke me up early yesterday morning and brought some thoughts. And I thank Him for that. And our first observation is this. Is our attitude in trials. Our attitude in trials. He tells us, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials." And this word "count" is in the aorist imperative. It's a command for doing something in the future. That's why when He says, "when you meet," they're coming. The trials will come. As I said earlier, they are inevitable. We will be facing them, brethren. And the degree of the trial, only the Lord knows. So when you meet trials, count it all joy. And this word "count" also, it conveys the idea to lead, that is command to deem, to consider. So what He's telling us here is that we are to lead or bring our attitude of thinking concerning trials as all joy. Count it all. We're to think about trials. We're to consider them as something that brings, that should be joyful. Why? Well, brethren, we believe in the doctrines of grace. We believe in a sovereign God. But yet when we go through a trial, it seems like all that understanding of sovereignty, of the God that we say we know, seems to diminish somewhat. And we tend to reach for the Armenian daisy. What do I mean by that? Well, He loves me, He loves me not. He loves me, He loves me not. No, brethren. God loves His children. And because He loves us, He knows that because there's still remaining sin in our life, that there has to be a removal of this sin from our lives, because He's perfecting us. He's working in us. Because though we don't see it with the physical eye, there is a conformity going on within us. We're being conformed into the image of His Son. So count it all joy. So we should not be governed by feelings or by our feeble sense. Biblical truth is what should govern our thinking. Does He not tell us that in Romans chapter 12, verse 2? Renew your mind. Renew it. Well, how are you going to renew your mind? By the philosophies of this world? by the ideologies of this world? No, by Scripture itself, by the Word of God. God communicates to us through His Word, and it is through His Word that bolsters that truth in our mind that when we come to face trials, that we can count it all joy. Paul said in Romans 8:18, he says, "For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us." Did you get that? I count it all joy because I know that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy. And they're only for a time. Because once we shed this robe of this flesh, we know that one day we're going to be endowed with this glory that's in us. He says it's in us. We just can't see it with the physical eye. What do we see? We see one another. We see flesh. But there's a glory in us. And God is working that glory. And the way He works that glory and perfects it is through trials, through suffering. You know, I've never been in a church this large. And I always fear when I have to speak to a multitude of people. I'm used to just a little handful. But since I've been here, there's been many of you that have gone through such severe trials. And you're a testimony of that steadfastness that James is talking about. It's also an evident token that you are a child of God and that He's sustaining you. I don't know if I could go through some of the things you've gone through. That's why I said, we don't know the degrees of the trials we're going to go through, but we will go through them. So count it all joy. So as we get our attitude of thinking right, and it has to be biblically, not our own reasoning, thinking I'm going to reason this out. No. But our thinking is fortified by the truth of God. So James instructs us to count it all joy. He says, my brothers. You know, this is one of those general epistles. It wasn't written to a particular church. There was persecution going on at large. And he's addressing his brothers because he knows of the trials that they go through. And I think it's very interesting that on the heels of the book of Hebrews comes James. And you read the book of Hebrews and all the trials that they were going through. There was that temptation of going back. Going back to the physical worship. As one commentator of the smells and the bells, because they were used to all these outward worship. They were looking at these things. But now they don't have those things. They were instructed there in Hebrews 12, what? Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. So he says, all joy. He didn't say some joy. He didn't say a little joy. He said all joy. Consider it all joy when you meet trials. But like I said earlier, I know I don't do that. And I don't ask for trials. I'm not one that says, well, God, send me whatever trial you want. No. If I told you there were out there in the parking lot 12 trials that God has given you, would you run out there and go get them? I don't think so. Because our wise God, He knows the trial that you and I need. He knows. Count it all joy. And this word joy means a cheerfulness. That is a calm delight. Do you experience that in times of trial? This calm delight? Or do you become anxious, worrisome? Do those questions begin to muster themselves in your mind? What are you doing, God? Why now? Things were going so well. Why now? Why not? God knows what we need. And it also deals with a pure joy, an unmixed joy, without any sinful inclination, devoid of complaining and devoid of murmuring. How often do we murmur in trials? We complain. It ought not to be so, brethren. That's why James is telling us here that when we meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. What God is working in us, brethren, is an endurance. This steadfastness that you and I aren't easily moved. We endure these trials. There's a steadfastness about us that's being cultivated in us. We see it materialize often over and over again. As I said earlier, I've seen it in you. And you're an encouragement to me. And I don't need to list the trials that this church has gone through. It's an unmixed joy, brother. It is a unique joy. As Peter would say in Peter 1:8, it is that joy unspeakable and full of glory. You ever experienced that? This joy it just so floods your soul. A joy that is so unspeakable, it's full of glory. You know, sometimes someone will look at you and say, are you out of your mind? Have you lost it? No, that just this joy that God has given me in the midst of this trial. I can't explain it because it's supernatural. It's of God. See, God, He graciously provides for us. That's our God. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 7:4, he says, I'm acting with great boldness towards you. I have great pride in you. I am filled with comfort. In all our affliction, I am overflowing with joy. Can you imagine that? I mean, just consider what the Apostle Paul went through. And for him to say that to the Church of Corinth, and you know the Church of Corinth and the state, the things that were going on there. And yet he says, I'm acting with great boldness towards you. I have great pride in you. I'm filled with comfort. That's how I feel this morning when I look at some of you. Some of you have lost children, babies, a husband, family members. And I draw comfort from you. From what I see in you, I see your steadfastness. And it encourages me to continue in the faith and not lose heart. Paul says, I'm filled with comfort in all our affliction. I'm overflowing with joy. You know, when you get that cup of water and you just pour it and you turn away and it just all spills over. I'm overflowing with such joy. At afflictions? Yes. At afflictions. They serve a purpose. They do, brethren. So consider it all joy. Because he says, when we meet trials of various kinds, different degrees. Your trial may not be the same trial I'm going through. When? I don't know when, but it's inevitable. It's coming. This trial is coming. Sometimes it seems like they come right one after another. When is it going to stop? I just got through this trial. Here comes another one. I'm about to break. Lord, it's overwhelming. Just look at the life of Job. What he went through. And Job was never given a reason why. God owes us no explanation. Amen. Reminds me of when Jeff was going through Romans, who art thou, O man, that replies against God? We serve an all-wise God. When you meet trials. And just the wording conjures up in my mind, I'm walking, all of a sudden I run into it, I bump into it. Here's this trial. It's there. It's looking at me in the face. What are we going to do? What will you do? You know, the writer here, James, he was known as James the Just. And they said his knees were like camels because he was a praying man. The trials send you to the throne of grace? Do they? There's nothing wrong with calling a brother or sister, but do they send you immediately to the throne of grace to seek God? Because look what he says there in verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. I need wisdom for this trial. I need help. So that I can count it all joy. See, in the midst of trials, there must be a joy. There must be. Why? Because it's a, as I said earlier, it's a command. Count it all joy. How do I do that? How do we do that? First, as I said, with the right attitude in realizing that it is a supernatural joy. This flesh will not work this joy out. This flesh is in opposition to the Spirit of God. Remember what it says in Nehemiah 8:10? The joy of the Lord is my strength. That's where it is. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I don't comprehend what that means, but I know what it says and I believe it. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Not Leo. Not my wife. Sorry, brother, not you. But it's the Lord. It's Him and Him alone. Secondly, it is being cultivated to a greater degree, this joy. It is one of the fruit of the Spirit. Is it not? Doesn't it reside in us already? He says the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, and the second thing is joy. I need joy, Lord. You got it. Cultivate it. It's going to be worked out. How? By trials. It's going to surface. You're going to see it. You're going to witness it in your life. That's another reason we count it all joy. See, our joy finds its root and its source in the Spirit of the living God. That's where it finds it. Not in ourselves. Run to your books. Go to your theology books. Sometimes you read books and it's a dry read. You get nothing from it, right? Thirdly, knowing that we are numbered with the saints of old. That should cause joy that we're numbered with us. I'm identified with Job. Yeah. Read James. He'll tell you. I'm identified with a prostitute. Rahab. Yeah. She put her life on the line. She turned against her people. The king could have killed her that night. He said, go search out her house. You're identified with Abraham. Elijah. I'm identified with Elijah. There he was before the prophets of Baal. There he was. And tell him, you call up your gods, and you know the God that comes down with fire, he is God. But then he's running from Jezebel. He's in despair. He's distraught. You mean I'm identified with that character? Yeah. Brethren, go to Hebrews 11 and read and see what they endured. We haven't even suffered under blood. You know, we keep hearing it that one day they're going to come knocking on this front door. You can't preach the truth here anymore. What are we going to do? Run? Or we'll do what the apostles of old, I'd rather obey God than man. So we find joy that we're numbered with them. And fourthly, we're never alone in our trials. This should stir up our joy. We have each other. We do. Because when one member suffers, we all suffer. Don't you feel it? You know, there's something goes out in Signal and you read it. So-and-so's his sister's going through a severe trial. Pray for her. Do you? Do I? I'll get to it later. Brother, we should count out because, you know, I'm not alone in this. Yes, I seek God. But then I can also seek the help of my brethren. This ought to stir our joy. That's why we count it joy. And then the greatest example of all, Christ Himself. Christ Himself. He experienced God's just wrath in taking upon Himself the sin of the world, your sin and my sin. Still, the promise of future reward and joy gave Him strength to suffer despising the shame. Because look what he says there in Hebrews 12, in verse 2. He says, looking unto Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, did you get that? The joy that was set before him. But there he is in the garden, praying, and great sweats of blood dropping from, oh Lord, if this cup would pass, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. He knew of the great reward. He knew there what we read there in John 17 where it says that the God had given him a people. And he was to redeem that people. And he knew that reward of being exalted and sitting on the right hand of the Father. This joy that was set before him. You contemplate those things. He says that joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He endured the cross for us. A joy was set before him. It was the will of his Father and the glory that awaited him. See, for us, look at verse 12 there in James. He says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. What's our reward? He says, for when he has stood the test. You get that? when he has stood the test. Because he's endured, he's been steadfast, he's persevered. He stayed under it. He says he will receive the crown of life. I love this. Which God has promised to those that love him. There's a promise at the end. Got to run the race. There's a prize at the end. Here to here. But in between. Sandwiched in between there are all these trials that we're going to face. For a reason, brother. Because like I said, we still have remaining sin and God is removing it through trials. So count it all joy. See, now these trials that James is talking about, he says various trials. They're variegated. They're multicolored trials. It's kind of like Joseph's coat, a coat of many colors. They come in many forms, in many degrees, in many levels. We don't know how they're going to come, but they're coming. As I said, they're inevitable to everyone that is a Christian. And if you name the name of Christ, you will face trials. Because he tells us all those that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. As I said earlier, no one in this auditorium, no one who claims to know Christ is exempt from trials. Don't swallow this false theology of these people who say, "Oh, I never have any problems. Oh, I'm to be happy all the day long." No. No. And I'm not saying we're to be sad all the day long either. I'm not saying that. Because he tells us, count it all joy. But they're various trials. We will face them. That's why Paul told us in Philippians 1:29, "For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake." You see the great union that is there? And the great identification for his sake. To glorify Christ in you. Wherever we're at, and when people know we're Christians, we're under scrutiny. They're going to watch us. They're waiting for us to fall. How do they see us? How do they view us when we're undergoing trials? Is our disposition just as theirs? Remember what it says, I'm trying to remember where it's 2 Corinthians. I don't know if it's chapter 3 or 4, where Paul is writing to them and he says that you are our epistle. You are our letter, read and known of all men. People are looking at you. You're a walking epistle. Reading your life, reading my life in times of trouble. In times of adversity, in times of affliction, they're reading us. I'm an epistle of Christ. You're an epistle of Christ. What do they read about us? What do our children read about us? They see us in our homes. They hear us in our homes. Brother, the trials, they come. And these trials, they're putting and testing our faith. That's the chief thing that is being tested. The chief grace is the faith that's being tested Is it real? Is your faith real? How many have come and we've seen being baptized? No more. They endure for a while. Maybe they were being mocked by family members. I don't know. Maybe they're being ridiculed at work. I don't know. Maybe they thought that everything was just going to be a bed of roses. I don't know. But you know they're no longer here. So they come in different degrees. Man, I thought that Christian life was going to be smooth sailing. No, it's not. It's not. No worries. That one cartoon, I don't remember the name of it right now, people would say, oh, Hakuna Matata. I used to people here say that at work. No worries. Brother, trials, they hurt. They do hurt. They're painful. But they present opportunities in our lives. They do. See, my beloved brethren, did not our Lord tell us that in this world you shall have tribulation? But what does He say? There in the Gospel of John 16:33. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Be of good cheer. Don't be sad. Don't be troubled. And then Paul reminds us there in Acts 14:22. And I know you're all familiar with this verse. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Did you get it? Through many tribulations. I don't know what you're going through this moment. You may be right now in darkness. Remember when Isaiah said, who is he that walks in darkness and has no light? And he's talking to a child of God. You're in the midst of that trial. You're in the thick of it. You don't see no light. You read. God's silent. God has hid himself. What do? Give up? Do we begin now to rehearse these scriptures that we know in our mind? Lord, I remember you saying this, through many tribulations I'm going to enter the kingdom of heaven. I cannot give up because I'm yours. I'm kept by the power of God. But when I come out of it, I see the light, and oh, what a glorious light it is. And I look back when I was through it, and I've done this, I hang my head in shame and said, Lord, forgive me. But it's through many tribulations. Brother, we have it right here in Scripture, stating the reality of troubles in our lives. They will come. Warren Worsby said this, and I quote, if we value comfort more than character, then trials will upset us. If we value the material and physical more than the spiritual, we will not be able to count it all joy. If we live only for the present and forget the future, the trials will make us bitter, not better. You don't want to get bitter. I don't want to get bitter. See, there are enemies that we face when we're in trials. When we're in a trial, these enemies come. They come as whispers sometimes. Where's your God? Where is He? Look at you. Doubt comes. Kind of like in Pilgrim's Progress, thrown into the doubting castle. Do you really care, God? Why are you so far from my cry? Doubt. Anxiety. One after another. I'm about ready to break. Kind of like the Syrophoenician woman who was bent. And all you see is earth. All you see is this. All you see is your trial. God is distant. But He's right there with you. Grab that promise. I will never leave thee nor forsake you. I'm with you. Abide in me, and I'll abide in you. We're not alone. See what He said there. This physical life is going to perish. Everything in this world is transient. Brother, we have an eternal soul. And because you're His dear child, He is working in you. He is perfecting the work in you. And we'll see that. I know I'm not going to get to it, but James says it here. You can read it. Because my next observation is this. The purpose of trials, there in verse 3. He says, "For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." For you know. See, Christianity is not about ignorance. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know truth. You know what God says in His Word. But this Word that He's talking about here is an experiential knowledge. Because you're experiencing the trials. And you know it's real. That's why James is saying, "For you know." Don't be ignorant to this reality. Don't be ignorant to this fact that the testing of your faith produces something. Something is being developed. Know this. See, James admonished us to think right with a rightful attitude about trials, to count them joy. Now here He's reminding us of the reality that we know that, in other words, we should not be ignorant of the fact that our faith, it may be small, it needs to grow. How does faith grow? Through trials. It's going to be tested. You say you're a real Christian? All right. God already knows. But it's for your benefit. For my benefit. He's going to test that faith. Everything's fine when the water is calm. Remember when they were in the boat, the disciples? The water is calm, everything's fine, but then it starts getting tumultuous, the wind starts blowing, the boat is rocking, and there's our Lord, fast asleep. Safe in the arms of His Father. But we're like the disciples. "Lord, don't you care that we're going to perish? Lord, don't you care at all? Look what I'm enduring. Look what I'm going through. Look what I've lost." You haven't lost me. I'm still with you. I'm still growing you up. There's some growing up to do. Doesn't he tell us that? But grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to grow up. In Corinthians, he says, equip you like men. Be men. Be women and daughters of Christ. Stop the complaining. Stop the murmuring. You ever tell that to your kids? Stop murmuring. Just do it. That's what the Lord is telling us. Just do it. Count it all joy. See, as I said, this word knows carries the idea of full understanding of something that is beyond the merely factual, but which comes from personal experience. Personal experience. As Christians, we know from our own experiences, our own trials. I could call up certain of you sisters to come stand here and give an account of the trials you've gone through, and you could say that He was with me the whole way through. I know you can, because I see you here today, steadfast in the faith. See, as long as we are on this side of glory, these trials will continue. They're going to continue. They're going to come. As I said, they may come like just one right after another in succession. Almost like you're on the chopping block. But they're coming. What does He tell us? There in 1 Peter 4:12, think it not strange. What? Think it not strange. These fiery trials. Peter calls them fiery trial. The intensity of these trials. They could be so, as it were, scorching. Think it not strange, my beloved, when these fiery trials are come to test you. Then what does He tell us? There's no test or temptation or trial that's overtaken that is common to man. It's common. Oh, but you don't know what I'm going through. It's common. You didn't come up with something new, a new trial. It's common. But see, the Lord makes a way of escape. That's the beauty of our God. He's always watching over us, even in the midst of it. We have so much to be grateful for. See, now these trials are not without purpose, because we know they are ordained of God. We say, will not the judge of all the earth do right? God is what? Righteous in all His ways. Can no one, not even myself, no one can impugn any injustice to God. None whatsoever. Years ago I questioned God. I was 11 or 12. My mom dies. Nothing of God. No instruction of the things of God in my life. None. So what did I do? At a young age, like that, raised Catholic, nominal at best, a deistic thinking. There's a God, but he's not active. How a deist says, God is inactive. God created the world, now he just stands back. He's so capricious. But when the Lord saved me, it changed everything. My whole way of thinking, it changed. Now I'll close with this. I knew I wasn't going to finish, so I'll close with this. As he tells us about our right attitude, thinking, we should remember someone else that went through such a severe trial. Joseph. Remember what he endured? What if your own family member sold you? Or they had planned ready to kill you? Joseph didn't know what God was doing. None of them knew. And they were Hebrews. But Joseph said this in Genesis 50, verse 12. But as for you, telling his brothers, ye thought evil against me, but God, I don't remember who it was, one of you all said, I love the butts of the Bible, but God. God was intervening in my life throughout every trial I went through, even when I was in the dungeon. It's kind of like the elevator didn't go up, it went down. But God was with me. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as is this day to save much people. May our minds, as we go through trials, begin to cultivate a greater reality of biblical truth, that when we are in a trial, we can appropriate these truths to our lives in the midst of trials. And trials will produce a steadfastness and endurance in our lives. Let's pray. Father, thank you for granting me grace. I pray, Father, that there has been some comfort to your people this morning. And I trust, Father, that you would continue meeting with us here this morning. As I said, meet with us in your word. Meet with us, Lord, as we sing. And Father, that we may praise you for all the good things you do in our lives. Even when trials come our way, grant us grace and filling of the Spirit that we could count it all joy. For it is in Christ's name I pray. Amen.